Hey, everybody. Welcome to the Andy Stanley Leadership Podcast, where we do our best to help leaders go further, faster.
And as we get started, talk a little bit about Uniquely Better.
Yeah, well, this idea came as a result of a conversation we had when we asked the question, why in the world did we grow so fast when we began this organization? And is there any way to recapture that momentum or recreate that momentum? And in that discussion, we concluded the reason we grew the way we did is because we had a uniquely better product. By unique, we mean people know what it is, but it's a unique one. And by better, it means it does what other things like it do. It just does it better. So in our case, we had a uniquely better church. Everybody knew what a church was, but a whole lot of people thought ours must be better. And so they came in droves. And it was uniquely better. Again, as we said last time, if anybody wanted our kind of church, we were the only one in town, and so everybody had to come. That's not the case anymore. There are a lot of churches that look like our churches. So while we've continued to make things better, it is no longer unique. So we've lost the momentum of uniquely better. So last month, we began talking about what can an organization do to either recognize it, if they can't create it, at least recognize it. So when the uniquely better idea comes along, when the uniquely better product comes along, they can be an early adopter. And the other reason this is so important, and we said this last month, Lane, is that somebody somewhere is messing with the rules to the prevailing model. Mm. Every industry has a prevailing model, and every industry has shared assumptions that drives the prevailing model. Mm. So consequently, there's a sense in which every industry is stuck. They're stuck in the prevailing model. It's not broken. It's just stuck. But somebody somewhere is challenging those assumptions. They're messing with the rules. They're pioneering new approaches. In fact, it's possible that somebody's already created a uniquely better product or approach that, you know, you just don't know about. We just don't know about. So this is a really big deal. And the goal isn't necessarily to create uniquely better. It's to recognize uniquely better. And that's what we're going to talk about for the next few minutes.
Well, Andy, you've identified four organizational habits that'll help leaders do just that. So we're going to look at all four of these. And the first one is be a student, not a critic.
Yeah. And this is a mindset. I decided many years ago, and honestly, Lane, you were there. So many people were so critical of what we were doing, even though it was working. And of course, you know, people oftentimes are critical of what works because they're not the ones working it. And, you know, we ran into some of that. But I was so put off by the fact that people who were in our industry, so to speak, could not learn from us. Mm. It was amazing. I mean, here we were doing what they were trying to do, and we were doing it better. We were doing it bigger and better. And we were so open-handed. We would have answered questions. We would have helped, you know, other churches in our communities. But they just were so closed-minded. It was unbelievable. So I made a decision back then, and I'm sure it was an emotional reaction to what I experienced. I decided I will not criticize things I don't understand. Mm. I will not criticize things I don't understand. And I think every leader should make this decision. And as intuitive as it may sound, it actually moves in the opposite direction of intuition, because intuitively, we resist things we don't understand and can't control. Anytime we bump into an idea, an organization, anything that is either, you know, we don't understand it or we can't control it, our natural reaction is to resist it. So I think leaders have to be proactive and have to decide up front, when I run into something I don't understand, I am not going to criticize it. I'm going to be a student, not a critic.
Andy, I remember there was an Al Rees quote that really galvanized a lot of your thinking around this idea.
Yeah, I honestly look at this quote probably every day because I have it sitting in three different places in my study, in my office. And this was years ago. We read his book on Focus. And this is a paraphrase from the book. And it says, my version says, the next generation product and idea almost never comes from the previous generation. Mm. The next generation product and idea, in other words, uniquely better, the next generation product and idea almost never come from the previous generation. So there's a sense in which I feel like I've had my day. We were so blessed. We were so fortunate to stumble over a uniquely better approach to what we do. And we grew like crazy and we've benefited from it. But the odds of me stumbling across, or the odds of us creating the next uniquely better way to do church, you know, we're probably not going to be the ones. Mm. The next generation product doesn't come from the previous generation. So my best bet, your best bet, our best bet is to create a culture that is so built around being students rather than critics that when it comes along, instead of resisting it and criticizing it, we'll embrace it.
Well, Andy, the second organizational habit that you talk about is keep your eyes and mind wide open.
Yeah, we, in our organization, from the very beginning, we said, listen to outsiders, listen to outsiders, listen to outsiders. And by outsiders, we mean people who are not in our industry, who aren't doing what we're doing. And the reason that's so important is outsiders aren't bound by our assumptions. You remember I said that every industry has a prevailing model. Those prevailing models are driven by organizational or cultural assumptions. So when an organization is willing to listen to people who are in other businesses or outside their field, those other organizations aren't bound by those same prevailing model assumptions. So from the very beginning, one of our organizational values was listen to outsiders. And the thing about outsiders, the thing about organizations that aren't doing what we're doing is they are ignorant. That is, they're ignorant of the assumptions that bind us. They're ignorant of the walls that we put around ourselves because, again, this is our prevailing model. And the truth is their ignorance, what they don't know about what keeps us doing what we do, their ignorance may actually be our ticket to the future. So organizations have to listen to outsiders, which means you have to be a student, not a critic, which means you have to be willing to learn from everything and everybody.
Andy, I've heard you say many times, close-minded leaders close minds.
It's absolutely true. A closed-minded leader will close the minds of everybody that reports to them and ultimately can impact, a division, a department, an entire organization. If you shut your eyes and close your mind, if you're not careful, you'll close the eyes and shut down the mind of your children as well. Back to organizational life, if you are a closed-minded leader, your innovators, they're going to leave. They're going to take their next generation ideas with them. Your status quo folks, unfortunately, they're going to stick around and defend the status quo, and everybody will get along and everybody will think alike. And, you just won't be in a position to embrace uniquely better when it comes along. In fact, you won't even recognize it. You will resist it.
Andy, I totally agree, but this is hard for a leader to see in the mirror.
Yeah, closed-minded people don't think they're closed-minded because they're so closed-minded. So here's something to think about as you evaluate your own situation or evaluate your own response to things. How do you respond to staff? And this is a big deal in our world. How do you respond to staff or people that you work with who make suggestions based on what they've observed in other organizations? So I'm asking our podcast listeners, what's your initial response to people you work with, maybe that work for you, when they come in one morning or they sit you down in the afternoon and say, hey, I just went to this conference. I just read this book. I just listened to a podcast. And, listen to what this organization is doing listen to how they approach one of the problems that we're wrestling with. And an open-minded leader will be open to learning from everyone. It doesn't have to be their idea because they're looking for the best ideas. How do you respond when somebody comes in with an observation from one of your competitors? That's going to be an indicator whether or not you really are a student versus a critic. And it's a great indicator of whether or not you really are open-minded. Now, to be honest, there's a pride of authorship. We all love our ideas. We love our model. We love our assumptions. So I think it's natural for there to be some initial resistance. But what comes out of my mouth when somebody comes in with a fresh idea that they, again, adopted or they're suggesting based on something else somebody else is doing, what comes out of my mouth is going to communicate whether I am open-minded or closed-minded. So regardless of how I feel, regardless of how threatening this idea might be, I need to respond like an open-minded person because we want the people around us to bring us the best ideas, not just our ideas. Another question I think we should ask ourselves from time to time is, when is the last time our organizations embraced a big idea that wasn't our idea? When's the last time there was a big initiative that somebody else brought to the table that wasn't my idea? Again, it's an indicator of how open-minded I am to new ideas when they're not my ideas. Here's another question. When is the last time you weren't sure about an initiative, but you gave the go-ahead anyway? When's the last time you weren't 100%, but it's like, you know what? I'm going to trust you with this. I'm going to be open to the fact that maybe you see some things that I don't see. Again, these are just ideas to get us thinking because, as you said, Lane, you said it exactly right. It is virtually impossible to see closed-mindedness in the mirror. We don't know that we are victims of being critics versus students. So these are questions that we ask from time to time, and I ask myself from time to time to make sure I'm not closed my hands around my assumptions, my model, the way we've always done it.
Andy, let's talk about the third thing that a leader can do to help recognize rather than resist uniquely better. You said replace how with wow.
Yep, replace how with wow. We've talked about this before in the past, but this is such a big idea. And I referenced it a little bit just a minute ago, because again, the first thing that comes out of my mouth when somebody comes up with an idea or walks in with an idea from another organization is going to determine whether or not they keep talking or whether they get defensive. Mm. And so I just think we should all get in the habit of saying, wow, 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 because wow fuels innovation, wow fuels ideas, you know, wow fuels brainstorming. How just shuts it down, and how much really shuts it down. And again, as an owner, as an operator, as an entrepreneur, of course, you know, we're thinking about the bottom line. We're thinking about how much your thing's going to cost. But, you know, bringing the how much question into the conversation too early is always a bad, bad idea. Besides, you know, if you're the manager, if you're the owner, you get to make that decision.
Right.
And you don't have to make that decision sitting there listening to a new idea. Because as we all know, you can howl the next generation idea to death. Or worse, you can howl the next generation idea right out the door.
Mm.
So the bottom line is, in our organizations, we should wow ideas to life. We should not howl them to death. Nothing is gained. Nothing is gained by not knowing what the people around us are dreaming about, what they're thinking about, and what they're considering. I want to know. And again, that conversation is fueled by wow rather than how.
And Andy, that leads us to the fourth habit, ask uniquely better questions.
Yeah, if we want to position ourselves either individually or as an organization to recognize, even if we don't stumble upon it or create it ourselves, to recognize rather than resist uniquely better, then there are certain questions we can ask ourselves, ask of our products, ask of our ideas that get the juices flowing around the whole idea of uniquely better. And one of those questions is this, is this unique? Whenever we launch a new environment, whenever we launch a new product, whenever we launch a new anything, a new approach or anything, to at least ask the question, okay, before we do this, this may be a great idea. Is this unique? And then the second question is, what would make it unique? Now, here's why that's important. I think we all like the idea of doing things differently than the competition or different than we've done it in the past. The advantage of asking these two questions is it takes the word unique and it puts it in the vocabulary of our decision making. Otherwise, we'll have a tendency to do what we've done before, even if what we did before works. But to ask the question, okay, before we launch this, is this unique? Is there a way to make it unique? What that says is we are looking for unique. We are an organization that is looking for, on the search for, uniquely better, and unique precedes better.
Andy, there was a third unique question.
Yeah, the first one is it unique? Second, what would make it unique? And the third one is it better? I mean, is it better really? Mm. I mean, is it unique? Is it better? Is it unique? Is it better? Again, why are we asking these questions? Because we are trying to create a culture that is on the lookout for uniquely better. And if we are working to make what we do more unique, and if we're working to make what we do better, we are open to uniquely better. And again, we may not create it. We may not stumble upon the next, newest, greatest thing, but we've positioned ourselves to recognize it once it comes along.
So, Andy, let me restate these four organizational habits. Be a student, not a critic. Keep your eyes and mind wide open. Replace how with wow, and ask the uniquely better questions. Well, as we wrap up today's conversation, any final thoughts?
Yeah, I would just say this. Somebody is already working on a uniquely better approach, a uniquely better product, a uniquely better environment. Whatever business you're in, somebody is already messing with the rules. They are already messing with the rules to the prevailing model. And again, our goal isn't necessarily to be the first or to be the pioneers of uniquely better, but we need to be in a position organizationally and personally to recognize it when it comes along. I love this quote from Sam Harris. I heard him say this on one of his podcasts. He said, "We must pay attention to the frontiers of our ignorance." Mm. Isn't that a great quote? We must pay attention to the frontiers of our ignorance. The problem is our tendency is to turn our back on our ignorance and face the things that are familiar and face the things that we can control and face the things that we can understand. But leaders need to turn around and we need to pay attention to the frontiers of our ignorance, because that is where uniquely better dwells.
Well, Andy, thanks so much for today. And to all our listeners, we want to thank you for joining us. Don't forget to check out the andystanley.com website, where you can find the leadership application guide to go with today's podcast.